Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's digital audio service. I'm not sure from where or when you're tuning in, but many of us are listening on Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. So happy Easter. There's a lot of tradition around Easter, some of which we're familiar with, like chocolate or flowers or exuberant singing, but there are other traditions we might be less familiar with. For example, a few hundred years ago in Germany, Easter Sunday services would begin with jokes. It was believed that Easter was a time to laugh because God had played a joke on death itself. And there was always a time at Easter for joy and laughter. So before the service, the pastor's job would be to begin with a kind of stand-up comedy routine to get everyone laughing before the formal worship. And it didn't seem to matter if the jokes were a little off color, even. The idea was just to get people in a jovial mood. And once the lighthearted feeling spread around the room, the service would then begin. So let me give it a try. What is the Easter Bunny's favorite kind of music? Hip-hop. What happens if you tell a joke to an Easter egg? It cracks up. Okay, so I won't quit my day job for stand-up comedy, but you get the picture. Easter is filled with traditions that lead us into joyful reflection and expression. And we'd like to begin with one of the best-known traditions now. Millions of people are remembering the resurrection of Jesus today. And in many traditions, someone will stand up and say, "He is risen." And the people will respond with passion and joy, with, "He is risen indeed." So let's do that together to start things off right, no matter where we are or when we're listening. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll hear a number of voices from our pastoral team. Since our team is working remotely, this digital audio service has been recorded in segments as we're taking the instructions from our government seriously. So though it might sound like we're up close to one another, we're actually quite far apart. And some parts of this service have been recorded at other times than others. So with that said, today you're going to hear music from Michelle, Rebecca, and Ricky. We'll also hear from Joanne, Deanna, Ryan. I'll read a short story, and Dave will be sharing a special Easter sermon. So welcome, and a very happy Easter. Let's begin with a reading of the resurrection story found in Mark's Gospel from Joanne.
Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out to purchase burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened.
The no one caught in sin remained inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the weight of all our sin, you bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden gray can hold you down. In strength you reign forever, let your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Defeated the night, singing, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, he's alive, he's alive.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
We're going to take a moment to read a small story. It's an old story. It was written in 1942 by Margaret Wise Brown. It's called The Runaway Bunny. Listen in. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I'm running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on a mountain high above you." "If you become a rock on the mountain high above me," said his mother, "I will become a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are." "If you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus in a hidden garden." "If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener, and I will find you." "If you're a gardener and find me," said the little bunny, "I will be a bird and fly away from you." "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will become a sailboat and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind," said the little bunny, "I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze." "If you go flying on a trapeze," said his mother, "I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you." "If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air," said the little bunny, "I will become a little boy and run into a house. If you become a little boy and run into a house, said the mother bunny, I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you. Shucks, said the little bunny. I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny. The end. Deanna and Ryan are with us. Happy Easter to the two of you. Good to see you.
Happy Easter. That was a great story, Luke. It reminds me of God's love. You know, God loved us so much. There is nothing we could ever do that God wouldn't love us. This is what Easter is all about, God's love. Today we remember the biggest, most amazing, most wonderful thing that ever happened, that Jesus rose from the grave. Today we celebrate Jesus. Our kids' themes this month is humility, putting others first by giving up what you think you deserve. Climbers, let's celebrate that Jesus is alive. Navigators, remember, Jesus put us first. And preteens, think about this question. What does Easter mean to you? This week's family challenge is Easter family photo. Please post your family celebrating together on our kids' Facebook pages or using the hashtag LWC Easter Jam 2020. We love seeing you guys. Today, Easter Sunday, we're having a contactless drive-through Easter basket pickup at the Fort Langley location from 10:30 to 11:30. Families, come pick up your family basket. Come celebrate in your car with us. We're so looking forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Deanna. Our Living Waters families have found such joy in participating in the weekly family challenges. I'm pretty sure our families, actually everyone from Living Waters, is going to find joy in this next piece of church news. One of our values as a church community is generosity. What we mean is, especially at Easter, we recognize the generosity that Jesus showed each of us, and we want to follow his example by being generous to those around us, consistently, day in and day out. Each of our lives has been changed in the past month to various degrees. We recognize that often when significant changes happen in our society, the ones who often feel it the most are the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. This is true of our current situation as well. In the past weeks, we were made aware that in the Langley School District, approximately 3,000 of the 23,000 students would go to school hungry each day. Perhaps these students would go to school with no breakfast or without lunch. Perhaps on the weekends, the fridge at home would remain empty. Living Waters has responded to this need throughout the years by supporting in-school food programs at Fort Langley Elementary, Yorkson Creek Middle School, and Walnut Grove Secondary School. But we realize that this need has not gone away. In fact, it has become greater. With that in mind, I am thrilled to let you know that Living Waters is going to respond to this community need by donating $3,000 to the Langley School District Foundation in order to ensure that those families and students in need receive food that is critical to these students' well-being. Thank you to the Langley School District Foundation for taking action on hunger in our community. And a huge thank you to the Living Waters community who continue to give generously, even in uncertain times, which allows us to be an example of Jesus by being generous to those around us. Thank you, Living Waters. We are also excited to let you know that starting next Sunday, we will be journeying through the book of James as a community. For the months ahead, we will work our way through this beautiful letter that is a source of inspiration and practical life application. For all the keeners out there, feel free to get a head start on reading the book of James this week.
Your goodness is running out. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All of my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. The goodness of God. It's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I appreciate that song so much. Thanks for leading us today, Ricky, Michelle, and Rebecca. The goodness of God. Wow, I sure miss congregational music, singing, and worship. Without a lie, I probably have listened to this Goodness of God song probably 20 or 30 times this week. I find the focus and truth of that song so important and helpful. All my life, you've been faithful. There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. And then it flips into the part of the chorus, there won't be a day that you're not by my side. I find that so encouraging, and I trust you have as well today. Before we turn in our Bibles to John chapter 20, I'm happy to share a generosity announcement and social justice announcement with our congregation. I'm happy to report that our 2019 application to the Canadian government for sponsoring another refugee family was approved. This is so good. This will be our church's second sponsorship. Of course, we're not sure how this will unfold,
especially with the recent global developments, but we do have intention. And today we imagine the day that we could welcome two very special people named Weesum, who is a 36-year-old man, a carpenter, and his wife, and Tiha, who is a 28-year-old hairdresser. This couple has Iraqi descent and are now settled in Nadaba, Jordan, regularly attending a Christian church. I'm so excited about these possibilities. So once again, a church refugee sponsorship committee has been formed. And if you would like more information on how to get involved in these early stages of planning, please let me know, and I'd be happy to give you some direction in that way. I am so thankful for how generous Living Waters Church is. Even during these last 4 to 5 weeks, your generosity makes it possible for us to give to the Langley School Board Foundation. And as we just said, make ourselves available to being on the front lines of welcoming newcomers to Canada. I'm so proud of our church. On this Easter Sunday, would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20? Let me ask you a question as we begin. Do you know what the word Easter means? Easter comes from a Latin word that means Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Certainly, Resurrection Sunday is being celebrated so differently around the world this year. A day when Christians and pilgrims and so many people take their annual drive or walk to their nearest place of worship. But again, how different this year from what normally would be happening on a typical Resurrection Sunday around the world. I think of places of worship in Jerusalem, in Rome, and of course here in the Fraser Valley. I mean, even St. Nicholas Catholic Church in Walnut Grove at the end of my street, where I would typically be seeing hundreds and hundreds of cars coming and going this weekend. Things are different this year. So how is it going for you this Easter weekend? Yes, things are very different, but perhaps we are being reminded that Resurrection Sunday is not something that you do. It's not somewhere you go. It's not an event to attend. Rather, and probably most importantly, Easter Sunday is a time to remember, to receive, and is about renewing a relationship with the resurrected Lord. And my thought this morning, as we begin in John chapter 20, that perhaps this refresh, perhaps this year's reboot, might not be such a bad thing. But this morning, let's go back in time. John chapter 20, the events surrounding the first Resurrection Sunday and the first Holy Week were quite devastating for the disciples. Jesus had died that weekend a very cruel death, right in full public view. And certainly a few days later, his death was on so many people's minds. And certainly for the better part of that first Resurrection Sunday, everything had in some ways come to a grinding halt for the disciples, with their future very uncertain. But that evening, that Resurrection Sunday evening, a few things happened that changed their narrative quite entirely. Let me read John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It would seem from our reading, by the evening of that Resurrection Sunday, the disciples had, as I said a moment ago, the disciples had come to the end of themselves. John 20 does not record their conversation during the day, but does record that by nightfall, they found themselves hiding behind closed doors. Kind of self-isolation, actually, and how that sounds familiar. They self-isolated, quite legitimately, waiting for a reprieve, waiting for a rescue, waiting for answers. I mean, imagine all the concerns and the questions. Certainly the times have changed, but people's questions haven't. I mean, certainly, have you not noticed all the questions surfacing in our minds and perhaps in other people's minds these days? Lots of questions all over the world. At our Tuesday team meeting this week, Sarah and Krista Emanuel, pastors, joined us, our Living Waters Global Workers, pastoring in Chennai, India, at Living God Church, a church they planted a number of years ago. And they began to tell our team how things are very different, and how the whole city of 8 million people are quite in a difficult place. We heard their updates of COVID-19. And as we listened, I could not help, I'll be honest, I could not help but get a little anxious, concerned for this young church. Their state has imposed a less than 4-person gathering law, which is being aggressively enforced by their police. And as they talked, I couldn't help but get, with the rest of our team, couldn't help but feel the concern for the 8 million that lived in that crowded city. I mean, Julie and I have been there. It's so crowded. Many large families living in tiny one-room homes. And now all in quarantine. Can you imagine? And there is Living God, this great church started in a living room, and now in their third meeting space, because they keep growing, carrying a heart for multiplication and starting their third location soon, and yet trying to find their best stride with these present realities. It's quite concerning. They have so many questions. Even this past Wednesday night, Julie and I joined a prayer meeting with Julie's brother's church in California. And of the 40 or so people on the Zoom call, three participant families are personally walking a journey with illness related to this COVID-19 virus, and many on that Zoom call are looking for work. They are a very concerned people. They're a troubled group. They have so many questions. I was even surprised by a conversation I had with a neighbor last week. I was out with our dog on the sidewalk in front of our house. I've talked to him many times. He's been in my home many times. He's mid-20s, works at a car dealership, and to my knowledge has very little or no Christian background. The three questions he asked me quite surprised me, and let me try to retell the quick but yet very interesting conversation. This is a true story. After some general hellos, right of the blue, he said, "How is the church doing?" To which I replied, "Well, we're doing okay. Church is really about a network of relationships and activities, and there's so many good things happening these days. The people at Living Waters Church are awesome people, great families, and so many are living responsible lives. I'm just so, so impressed." Is this the beginning of the end of the world? True story. To which I answered, "Well, I'm not sure, but if it is, then it will be the beginning of our next life." Third question, right on the heels. Is the second coming of Jesus going to happen soon? To which I replied, "I'm not sure. The Bible says Jesus could return at any time, but the better question is, what does it mean to be ready for his return?" So many questions are being asked these days, And I'm sure you have questions, and I'm sure you hear these questions as well from your family and from your neighbors. That's a great question. Where is God in the midst of this crisis? Let's consider again the first Resurrection Sunday and how it turned out for the disciples. For how that day started was certainly not how it finished. And again, the catalyzer that brought about change that day was Jesus. What started as a bad day kind of ended up with a little bit of a celebration, even a party-type atmosphere. Notice on this John chapter 20, Resurrection Sunday house meeting, Jesus brought a bunch of gifts into this simple meeting and, as I said, turned it into a little bit of a party. Let's look at this. Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, and suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Wow, imagine. Suddenly Jesus standing there among them, the gift of his presence. Friends, Resurrection Sunday is about Jesus in the room. Resurrection Sunday is about Jesus at the meeting. Jesus in the middle of the conversation. Jesus finding his way behind closed doors and into the middle of trouble and tragedy and times of uncertainty. And wow, the difference the presence of Jesus makes. Friends, Resurrection Sunday affords an opportunity to pivot if necessary and welcome God afresh into our lives and into our conversation. You and I and so many in this world need a message of relief, a message that fills us with hope and faith and courage. And certainly what we find on Resurrection Sundays offers all that and so much more. For Resurrection Sunday is all about God drawing near, walking through the open door, God coming close. And I'd encourage you today to make way, to open up the door, to prayerfully invite. So Jesus comes into the room and says, "Peace be with you." Here Jesus bringing not just the gift of his presence, but the gift of peace. In some way, by doing this, he puts a name on himself. There standing in the middle of the room was peace. For it was foretold he would be the Prince of Peace. When Jesus enters a life, when Jesus enters a room, enters a meeting, his peace would rule. For he is the Prince of Peace. This word peace, the actual word for peace in this verse, references the idea of a prince involved in an armistice, the idea of coming to establish a formal agreement so that warring parties stop the fighting. Does not reference necessarily the end of the war. It just constitutes only a cessation of hostilities while an attempt is made to negotiate a lasting peace. So here Jesus comes to bring that, to bring reconciliation, to bring peace, to bring something which unites, not divides. And here the rule of the prince is one that affords peace. And it certainly made a difference in the disciples' lives that day. Consider more the true meaning of this armistice. It would involve a state of national tranquility, a peace between individuals, a peace with God. Wow, how the people of this entire world need God's peace. John 14:27 says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart." Wow, what an example that people can be as they daily unwrap the gift of peace. So do you have peace in your life these days? And let me ask you a second question. What would stop you from having peace of mind and peace of heart? Let me encourage you, unwrap the gift of peace even right now and let the Prince of Peace fill your room, fill your mind, and fill your heart. Continuing, verse 20 says, "As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side." I would call this the gift of fulfilled prophecy. Here, standing with them in that room, Jesus showed them evidence of fulfilled prophecy. The wounds in his hands and his side reminded the disciples to understand that hundreds of years of God's divine narrative and God's redemptive plan unfolding right in front of them to care and save the whole world. Many would say that there are over 300 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus, and many of them were happening that weekend. Friends, God's plan would never and will never be thwarted. I mean, I think if we're honest, I think we find it all hard most often reminding ourselves to pay attention to God's divine narrative, to be keeping our eye on God's plan and our heart turned in that direction. God's present and long-term plans. I would say that keeping an eye on the larger narrative to understand the times, though, is very necessary. And even as I say it, I'm reminding myself of that need. Certainly in John 20, God was influencing his divine plan, and his plan was moving along. For up from the grave, Jesus arose, and in his raising, a Savior of the world came to be seen and came to be known. Wow, faith in that Savior makes you and I look at past, present, and future in a most certain way. And on that first resurrection Sunday, the uncertainty the disciples had really hadn't changed, but their appreciation for God's companionship had. Notice in the story that as the disciples began to receive, notice how the mood and their thinking changed. It says they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Here, another gift that entered the room was the gift of joy, and every good party needs joy. Why the change in the disciples? Well, perhaps it seems their perspective on the future had changed. Perhaps they sensed that everything was going to be okay. God was in control. God has a plan. Regardless of your answer to that, the mood had changed. The small group gathered together turned to a place filled with joy. It seemed the anxiousness left. The fear of the unknown was set aside, and they found a new center and a new perspective. C.S. Lewis says, "The future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does or whoever he is." I've noticed that a lot of good things happen just as the disciples did that day when we admit every hour what is out of our control, then find the courage to hour by hour handle the things that we have control of. The narrative continues. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." I would call this the gift of purpose. Despite how threatening a day, Jesus reminded them of the calling upon their lives. They were followers of Jesus. They were a sent people. You may have heard me retell the story of April 15th, 2013 at the Boston Marathon, where on that tragic day during the marathon, double bombings were heard and felt near the finish line, again, during the Boston Marathon. What a terrible day. What a terrible act of violence that killed three people and injured over 264. It's a crazy, sad story. What I was impressed with was when listening to the recorded community vigil, I heard the story of the rector of a parish that overlooked the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And during her speech, she honored, of course, the deceased and the injured, and also took a few moments to honor all the first responders. For she said how she looked out her window when she realized what had happened. She observed from the floor that she was on that as the dust settled, there were two groups of people. There were those that were running to the injured, and there were those that were obviously running for safety. Friends, we are a sent church. This renewed purpose that the disciples found refreshment in is perhaps something that we would benefit from as well. We are a sent people. It's the same for us. We are not to be lights hidden under bushels. We are a sent people. We heard on Tuesday that Living God Church in Chennai takes on a daily congregational challenge asking their congregation to be in touch with at least two people every day. They are sending their community, they are sending their congregation to be a blessing. I love the personal initiative that people are taking to get to people. Such good stories are being told in Chennai, India, and in Langley. And let's continue to fulfill our calling as sent people. And finally, in John 20, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I would call this the gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, resurrection power, filling the lives of ordinary people, ordinary followers of Christ. How interesting that so many times Jesus sympathetically reached out to inspire courage and to fill with the Spirit. Matthew 14, 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, it's I, do not be afraid." Mark 6, 50, "For they all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke with them and said to them, 'Take courage, it's I, do not be afraid.'" Mark 10, 49, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you.'" As life changes when a person is filled with the Spirit, a courageous spirit. And God knows this and seeks to offer us resurrection power. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell within us. And for a Christian, does dwell within. You may have noticed our theme this morning comes directly from our Lent series, "Don't Forget to Party." And that day, many years ago, on that first Resurrection Sunday, everything changed for that discouraged group of disciples hiding behind locked doors when resurrected Jesus drew near. They were filled with joy because of these necessary gifts that Jesus provided. And this would be my prayer for our church this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, that we would all be filled with joy and able to say, "Praise God. How could this possibly be?" Well, by receiving the gifts of Easter, the gifts that come along when Jesus comes along and moves into our minds, our hearts, and the rooms we're in, the gift of peace, the gift of prophecies fulfilled, the gift of joy, the gift of purpose, the gift of power. As we, this day, welcome resurrected Jesus into our thinking, our hearts, our homes, and our relationships, imagine the possibilities this brings. In just a moment, we will sing together the song "Waymaker." And my hope today is that God's word for you would be to allow God to make his way into your life and work through you so that the way in which you walk today and in your tomorrows would be done in a way that glorifies God and helps others. So this morning, accept the invitation Jesus gives to you personally, to gives to you today, right now. Understand that God has got the whole world in his hand, and that with that same hand, God knocks today on the door of your heart. And may you hear today of his desire to draw near to you, to meet you, perhaps even in your place of isolation or self-isolation, just in the same way he did some over 2,000 years ago when he met his disciples on that first Resurrection Sunday. This resurrected Lord is standing in your midst, and he's speaking to us today. Friends, Resurrection Sunday is about a party that everybody's invited to. And I invite you by faith to sing with healthy emotion, to be relieved of burdens that you may be carrying. What would stop you today from dancing? What would get in your way today from laughing and smiling and being at peace. Everybody's invited to the party. Not everybody gets there, but my encouragement to you today is to make sure you get there, because it will ensure you have a better day and many better days to come. Let's pray. God, on this Easter Sunday, we open up our hearts to you today. We open up the door that you would come in. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. We thank you that you're a generous God and you come bearing good gifts. Pray for peace, clarity. Pray for an understanding of the times we're living in. We pray for the gift of renewed purpose and calling. We pray for the gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit to happen all across our Living Waters community and all across our country. This Easter Sunday, while we humble ourselves with great respect for the many concerns around us, we also choose to lift our voice in praise. By faith, celebrating the resurrected Lord, who's in our corner and is in our future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your blood is healing every wound. Your blood is making all things new. Your blood speaks a better word. Your blood, the measure of my worth. Your blood, more than I deserve. Your blood speaks a better word. Speaks a better word. It's singing out with life. It's shouting down the lies. It echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word. Your blood, a robe of righteousness. Your blood, my hope and my defense. Your blood forever covers me. Oh, forever covers me. It's rewriting my history. Oh, oh. it's shouting down the line. It echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word. It's calling out my name. And it's breaking every chain. It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word.
Thanks for listening today. Here's a closing prayer as we continue to celebrate this very special Easter Sunday. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.